Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis chapter 42 is where we're at this week, and my plans are just to speak a few minutes. There's three things that I want to point out to you from this chapter. But I will read the entire chapter as I have every week in the book of Genesis as we get closer and closer. Somewhere probably in July or August, we'll finally have finished the book of Genesis. And I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do ye look at one upon another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither. Buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brethren. For he had said, "Lest peradventure mischief befall him." By the way, I believe that's all providential that Benjamin didn't get a go. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. He said unto them, "Whence come ye?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, "Ye are spies. To seek the nakedness of the land ye have come." And they said unto him, "Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all the man's sons. We are all true men. Thy servants are no spies." He said unto them, "Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come." And they said, "Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not." And Joseph said unto them, "That is it that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your younger brother come thither. Send one of you, let him fetch your brothers, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether they be true or any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies." He put them all together and twere inward 3 days. Joseph said unto them the third day, "This do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your house, but bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die." And they did so. They said one to another, "We are very guilty, verily guilty concerning our brethren, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear him. Therefore is this distress come upon us." And Reuben answered them, saying, "Spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And you would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept. And returned to them again and communed with them, and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he spied his money. For behold, it was in his sack's mouth. He said unto his brethren, "My money's restored, and lo, it's even in my sack." And their hearts failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, "What is this that God hath done unto us?" And they came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them. The man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly unto us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we're not spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, "Hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your household, and be gone. and bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are the no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you your brethren, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and you'll take Benjamin away? All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. He said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. What an intriguing chapter. What an interesting chapter. There's so much here, but we're going to go to the Lord in prayer before we get there. Let's pray. Now, Father, I know that we need you today. We look at this chapter and we see so many things, but we've really enjoyed the service tonight, just a different routine, a different thing, singing songs and a lot of the songs sung to you, and getting our eyes and our hearts drawn to where we need to be for the cause of Christ. And I pray that you'll just use our church here, and thank you for our missionary brother Ambosius. I pray that you'll help him, guide him, and direct he in his ministry in the Philippines. Now, Father, for the next few minutes, I pray that you'll give me clarity of thought and speech, that my words will be the words that you'd have me say. The time that I take would not be abusive to these dear folk, but would be appropriate. And, Father, that your perfect will and way would be done. In Jesus' name, amen. I do want to say thank you to all of our military veterans. Isn't it great that we have a country that people would sacrifice their lives for our freedom? And I just want to say that I'm very appreciative of that. I know that we probably could have made more of a big deal of it, and we will on our Patriotic Sunday, but I don't want to go without saying thank you to all those that served our country. As a matter of fact, just if you served our country, would you please just stand to your feet? If you served our country in a military way, if you were in the military, just stand to your feet real quickly. This is just coming to me now. I don't want to not recognize you. And I want you to know, folks, the military men and women are the last people to want to be recognized. They're the last ones that want to be recognized. Stand up, Mr. Poe. You're still there. But I think these people need a hand of applause. Yeah. Thank you for your service, men. I appreciate it very much. And, they don't do it for claim, fame or glory. They do it because some of them did it because they were drafted. Be honest, some of them did it because they love our country. I think they all did it because they loved our country. Some of them did it because they wanted an education, but they still loved our country, and they still did it. No matter why they did it, they did it. And I'm appreciative of it. And so thank you, men and women, for your service to our country. Let's get into this. Genesis chapter 42. You know, when I first read this, isn't it interesting how the very first verse in Genesis 42 sounds like everybody's dad, right? Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, Why do you look one upon another? Basically, in modern West Virginia English, he looked at his kids and said, What are you guys doing standing around? I'm so hungry. Go get food. Knuckleheads? That's my interpretation of it. He says, What are you guys looking at each other for? Like, what are we going to do? There's food in Egypt. Go buy some. Common sense. You know, God gave common sense. Aren't you glad that God gave common sense? I mean, some things are just common sense. You need to eat, you put food in your mouth, if it's available. And so I just love what Jacob says. Why do you look one upon another? What are you standing around for? Go to Egypt, buy food. Friend, God has given us all common sense. Now, we need to pray about everything. We need to pray about everything. I'm not saying that we ever go flying off the handle. We need to pray about everything. Whether it's a small ordeal or a big ordeal, wisdom from God is important. You know, you can pray about what you wear tomorrow morning. That's a small thing. That's okay. Pray about it. Maybe God will use it to be a blessing to somebody else. Or maybe it's a big deal, like buying a house or a car or a job or who you're going to marry. See, we need to seek God's advice on all things. But God does give us common sense. Here's what I do know. Whether you know exactly what God wants you to wear or not, something, what God wants you to wear tomorrow, I know that He wants you to wear something. That's common sense. All right? That's common sense. So we have common sense. If you fall down, get back up. If your car is running out of gas, pump gas into your gas tank. If you need to eat, eat. God gives us common sense, and God brings things into our lives to direct us. And this was certainly God directing Jacob and the children of Israel to Egypt. God has big plans for the children of Israel. Big plans. You'll read them in Exodus when He parts the Red Sea. And they wander in the wilderness, not because God wanted them to wander. The Ten Commandments are given. All of this is getting things where God wants them to be. There will be a king one day that does not know Joseph and bondages the children of Israel. And God sets them free and miraculously delivers them, miraculously takes care of them, and miraculously fulfills the promise that He gave to Abraham several hundred years before. But it all comes into play. You got to get to Egypt first. And so here, God is using a famine. And God is using common sense to direct. Pray about it. But God uses things to get His people where He needs them to be. And God was certainly directing these people at this moment. And He uses common sense. Number two thing I saw, God promises always come to pass. God's promises always comes to pass. 13 years earlier, Joseph has a dream that his brothers would worship him or bow down to him one day. He had not just one dream, but he had two dreams. 13 years ago. 13 years in the pit, in the prison, in Potiphar's house. And I don't know how many years expired from the time he was in evidently another 7 years, right? Because it's famine. So let's say now it's 20 years since this dream has been dreamt. And here the 10 brothers are walking into Joseph's house. And guess what they do? Verse number 6, and Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people, and Joseph's brothers came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. God's promises always come to pass. 20 years have passed. Joseph was ridiculed for revealing God's promises, and now the promises come to fruition. Friends, you cannot. You cannot mock God and get away with it, and you can always count on the promises of God. Every promise that God ever promised, they're going to come to fruition. They're coming to pass. Every one of them. And God's going to use this to teach some valuable lessons. And I can't help to think about how gracious He is in teaching them these lessons. So I see three things. Number one, I saw God gave common sense. Number two, God's promises always come to pass. Number three, God's gracious lessons. There is some great similarity in how the brethren treated Joseph and in how Joseph was able to treat his brethren. They are called spies. Joseph specifically calls them spies. Well, do you remember when Joseph's dad said, "Hey, Joseph, I want you to go and check on your brethren." Now, in the passage of Scripture, we don't have the boys calling Joseph a spy, but when they saw Joseph a great way off, I'm sure they said, "Here comes the little tattletale," because remember, Joseph had already told on his brethren before. One of them was Simeon, the one that he's going to put in jail, poignantly, by the way. And the two boys that did some really bad things, Joseph goes and tells his dad, says, hey, these boys are doing bad things. They're making a mock of God and making a mock of you. And Jacob has to take care of business. They think that Joseph's a little tattletale, little spy, you know. Here comes the little brother to spy on us. Joseph calls them a spy when they come into Egypt. He's treating them somewhat similar to the way they treated him. But it's all part of God's plan because God is graciously teaching these boys a lesson. They're in prison for 3 days. Joseph was in prison for upwards of 5 years. But they're in prison for 3 days. He chose Simeon as if to give them a clue. And let me tell you why he chose Simeon. And Joseph is now playing games with them. Joseph calls him a spy. Joseph puts him in prison for 3 days. And then he chooses Simeon, one of the brothers that did some wicked things. And he chooses Simeon. And you know what the word Simeon means? To hear. To hear. As if Joseph is giving a clue to his brethren, I hear every word you're saying. You don't think that I know what you're saying, but I hear every word you're saying. And so he takes Simeon as to give them a subliminal clue, and he puts Simeon in prison and sends 10 of them on their way. Remember what they did for Joseph? They sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. 20 pieces of silver, that little bit of money that each of them got to share, 2 pieces of silver apiece, probably long spent over the 20-year span. Those 10 boys got 2 pieces of silver apiece for Joseph. They thought that they made out. Remember when money wasn't that important to them? And all of a sudden, Joseph puts all their money back into their purse, and now they're fearful for their life because of money. It's interesting how money was what was used to sell them into slavery, and now Joseph is using, actually God, is using money to imprison them in their own minds and in their own conscience. Another similarity. Joseph spoke roughly to them. I mean, these boys go home. They talk to Jacob. Dad, the prince of Egypt, he spoke mean to me. I know it sounds childish, but that's how I take it. They were acting childish. He was mean. We don't want to go back, but we have to. Simeon's back there. Hey, how did those boys talk to Joseph 20 years earlier? He talked roughly. They talked roughly to him. They called him names. They made fun of him. Now, this is no way. I don't think that this is Joseph getting revenge because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. But I think everything that's done, Joseph hadn't had time to think about it this way. Joseph hadn't had time to set a plan. I don't think for 20 years he's sitting there saying, if I ever see these boys, here's what I'm going to do. I mean, this is just happening. Like the service tonight, it was impromptu. It was just whatever. It was just happening. And God is laying on Joseph's heart how to deal with things. And everything is appropriate because everything is teaching these boys a great but gracious lesson. Now they got money problems. They used to love money. Now it's a curse to them. They spoke roughly to Joseph. Joseph speaks roughly to them. But the kicker of it all is that these boys know in verse 28 what's going on. The last part of verse 28 tells us that they are very aware of why this is happening. What is this that God hath done unto us? They know God is all over this. They know why. Go back up to verse 21, and they said one to another, we are guilty concerning our brother. They're talking about Joseph. They know. They know 20 years ago they did something really bad, and they have been living with this guilt. They have been living with this sin, this unconfessed sin. By the way, sin that they were trying to forget, but God would never forget until it's covered under the blood. By the way, let me tell you something, church, and this is where the whole point comes. You and I need to search our souls. Now, I'm not sitting there saying that you try to really work yourself up and try to make yourself guilty, but if God lays something upon your heart that you need to take care of, you need to take care of it. I don't care if it was 20 years ago. Because God didn't forget. 20 years ago, these boys sold Joseph into slavery, and it took 20 years for their sins to find them out. But be aware, their sins were going to be found out. And the Bible promises us, be sure your sins will be found out. Be sure. So if the sins are going to be found out, guess who I want to know about them? Guess who I want to tell them? I want to tell God. See, I believe that if I go and tell God, then I don't think that you need to know. Now, I have to deal with private sins, you deal privately. With public sins, you have to deal with them publicly. But when private sins, you go to God and take care of things privately. I would much rather confess my sins to God than to be found out, than for God to make sure I'm found out. Maybe you've done something in the last year, 10 years, 20 years. Maybe you have wronged somebody, and right now God is sitting there saying, yeah, I've been telling you about that for 5 years, but you just keep putting out of your head, oh, that don't matter, and it does to God. Some of you may have to go home tonight, pick up a phone, and call somebody. Because I'm telling you, it's not okay with God. What these 10 boys did to Joseph was not okay with God. It took 20 years for God to take care of business. He wanted to make sure that he was going to use the right vessel to take care of business, and he just got to use Joseph to take care of Joseph being abused. Be sure your sins will find you out. I see a gracious lesson here. I mean, for 20 years, God could have done a lot of things to these boys. Could have struck them with leprosy. Could have hurt them. I mean, he could have done a lot of things to them. But for 20 years, he just sat silent. And now it's coming to fruition. They know exactly why they're being punished here. It's starting to register with them. It's starting to register with them. Simeon's in prison. Their money's back. They remember wanting that 20 pieces of silver. They remember imprisoning Joseph. They remember talking to Joseph roughly. Now this man's talking to them roughly. They know that God is working behind the scenes here. They still don't know it's Joseph, but they know that God is working behind the scenes. Be sure your sins will find you out. The sin of hurting Joseph is now going to hurt everyone. Because Jacob won't give up Benjamin, and Simeon sits in prison, and the rest of the family is going to go hungry because of the sin of these 10 men. Now, I just find it so interesting. You can't help but see that God is trying to teach these 10 men a lesson specifically. Because Benjamin was never a part of Joseph being sold into slavery. And guess who doesn't have to go? And guess who doesn't have to go through all of this? Benjamin. Benjamin gets to stay at home. Benjamin's not threatened. Benjamin is not talked to roughly. Benjamin's not abused. Benjamin didn't need to be. Benjamin wasn't being taught a lesson. Benjamin didn't do the sin. He didn't do the crime. He didn't have to pay the time. But these 10 men, God is teaching them a lesson. 20 years has passed. I feel bad for Simeon somewhat, because Benjamin's Jacob's love for Benjamin keeps Simeon in prison. We don't know how long. We'll not get to it in very much detail, but if you'll look at verse 43, and the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt. I don't know how much Joseph gave them, but it was all gone. So this family left Simeon in prison for a really long time. And finally, when there was no more food, Jacob gives in and says, all right, we'll talk about that next time. My suggestion is this. If there's something in your past that you know you're guilty of and you haven't made it right, do it. Make it right. confess it to God, and move on. God doesn't forget those things, and He expects His children to make things right with Him and with others. But once you confess it, He forgets it. Now don't go out frying your brains to see if you have something. I want you to let the Holy Spirit lead you. And I'll guarantee you, at least in the crowd this size, there's at least one person that God is convicting your heart about. And you know exactly what you did. And nobody else does. And your hands are sweaty. Your heart's beating. I got to make a phone call. I'm not going to do it. You don't have to do it. God gives you free will. But you'll be imprisoned until you do. Remember this. I would rather humble myself before God than for God to humble me. These 10 men never humbled themselves before God until God got done with them. And then He humbled them. God is never in the business of humiliating us, but He will humble us. But the Bible tells us that we should humble ourselves. So there is a difference to humbling yourself and then having God humble you. So my suggestion to us tonight is, let us humble ourselves. Who is it that you need to call and get things right? I've had to do it, man. I've had to do it. Uncomfortably had to do it. God lay somebody on my heart from my teenage years, and man, I have to call them and apologize for something I did that I knew I did and I didn't want to. That's just in the past, and I would just chalk it up to youth. I was just a kid, and God wouldn't let me leave it alone. You have to take care of things. I mean, if that's the case for you, then that's the case for you. Maybe it's a spouse you need to apologize to. Maybe it's an ex-spouse that you need to apologize to. The fact of the matter is this. God doesn't forget your transgressions. For 20 years, these men hid their transgressions. But in the next couple of chapters, their transgressions is found out. Jacob even finds out about them. Can you imagine being the guy that has to go back and tell Dad that Joseph's still alive? How is he still alive? Well, Dad, I got a story to tell you. We lied. We sold Joseph into slavery. I mean, whoo-hoo! You talk about confession. We'll talk about that later. Hey, I'm not sitting here trying to make you feel guilty. That is not my purpose. I could probably make you feel guilty, but that's not my purpose. I want the Holy Spirit to work. And if God is working in your heart and He's bringing something to mind, you have to take care of it. I have to check my heart. Dear God, is there somebody I need to call? Is there somebody I need to talk to? Is there something I need to do? Because the main thing is being right with God. That's the main thing. Right? These 10 men weren't. But they're fixing to get a lesson taught. And they're in the midst of the lesson as we leave this chapter.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today. We also stream our services live on Facebook. facebook.com/Victory Baptist Church WV. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a blessed day.